Our country is going through some really tough times these days, aren't we? Phew. Every day, try as I might to avoid it, I am bombarded with outrage and traumatized by an onslaught of horrifying stories and images in my Twitter feed, in my newspapers, in my email inbox. I wonder how or even if we will ever heal these wounds that are tearing us apart and inflicting so much damage to our planet. The pain is inescapable and never-ending. My heart physically aches in response to the overwhelming cruelty, and I often feel powerless to do much of anything to change it. Like many of you, I have been searching and sometimes flailing about for a life raft, a way to survive this turbulent and frightening period in our world, with my spirit intact and as many fellow travelers as possible in the boat with me. I am reminded of something that Susan Frederick Gray, president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, said when she spoke to our congregation a couple of years ago around the time of the 2016 election. She said, "This is no time for a casual faith, and this is no time to go it alone." As I began to examine our third principle with fresh eyes in preparation for our service, I was struck by this, its relevance, the third principle's relevance for us in this particularly terrible moment in history. I think most people who read our third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, are not immediately filled with a sense of urgency and a call to community. Perhaps, like me, they skim over this one with a little, yeah, yeah. It seems so obvious, maybe even a little trite. But I would suggest that acceptance and encouragement to spiritual growth are radically powerful acts that are profoundly needed, especially now. Quaker author and activist Parker Palmer once wrote, "If I were asked for two words to summarize the habits of the heart citizens need to help democracy survive and thrive, I'd choose chutzpah and humility." Aren't those great words? By chutzpah, I mean knowing that I have a voice that needs to be heard and the right to speak it. By humility, I mean accepting the fact that my truth is always partial and may not be true at all. So I need to listen with openness and respect, especially to the other. We as a country will need a great deal of chutzpah and humility to make it through. I'm here with all of you today precisely because I cannot summon enough chutzpah and humility alone. To fully actualize the potential of our third principle and to be the kind of human being that our world needs us to be, that the world needs me to be, requires active engagement in our society, starting with a community like ours. There are two parts of this third principle as I read it. The first is what I usually focus on, acceptance of one another. It seems so simple, doesn't it? And it's really not as easy as it looks. For as Baba Ram Dass and Donna Samani both illustrated earlier in our service, acceptance is an active verb, not a passive one. Indeed, living out the third principle calls us to do more than just accept one another's paths, but also to be curious about how this different approach might have something to teach us. Staying curious and open is not a passive stance. It takes work. Without curiosity, acceptance can easily become avoidance. I'm pretty good at avoidance, as it turns out. Here's an example. My personal theology doesn't include angels or gods or goddesses. But I gather that the wise women group attracts a pretty good crowd when they join together for rituals and celebrations of holidays I don't observe and symbolism I don't understand. Typically, I skim right past their announcements in the newsletter and take care not to stumble into the gatherings when they take place. If I avoid engaging with what they're doing, I don't have to encounter the challenge to my own beliefs or struggle to accept theirs, which is all well and good, except I'm not so much as accepting what they're doing as I am avoiding it. Curiosity is essential to true acceptance. If I'm truly going to accept the alternative spiritual path of my sisters and the wise women group, I have to at least find out what they're doing and learn how it works for them. I have to engage. No diss, by the way, to the wise women. I think they're pretty cool. This is what I mean. Think she means when Susan Frederick Gray asks us to not take our faith casually. We need to hold ourselves to a high standard, to take our spiritual growth seriously, to prioritize it. She is telling us to lean into our faith, to let it support us, and to feed it in ourselves and one another so that it can buttress us for the moral and psychic struggle in which we are engaged. Which leads us to encouragement, the second part of the principle. As she said, this is no time for a casual faith and no time to go it alone. Encouragement requires being in relationship, actively engaging with one another, not going it alone. Are we just moving along on parallel tracks here at our fellowship? Or are we weaving our paths together into a resilient and beautiful fabric that will stand the test of our time? How can I encourage you to grow spiritually if I don't even know what spiritual path you are on? It doesn't have to be my path to encourage you to walk on yours. But if I don't know, for example, that you're trying to avail yourself of the healing powers of the natural world by hiking every weekend, how can I nudge you to keep going even when you're tired? If I don't know that your growing edge is to learn to use your voice, even when you're frightened, how can I be an effective ally the next time you're trying to speak your truth? Community, deep, sustaining, engaged community involves us helping each other to be the best versions of ourselves. And just like acceptance requires curiosity, encouragement to spiritual growth involves not just tolerance, but also support and sometimes challenge. Encouragement is an active process, and it is most effective when it comes in the context of a relationship marked by trust and mutual respect. This is the beautiful part of our third principle. It is best enacted in community. If I'm not rubbing up against people who are different than me, then acceptance is just an abstract intellectual exercise. And likewise, if I'm not interacting with you meaningfully, then my encouragement is doing nothing more than being distant applause of a spectator on the sidelines of your life's journey. The ripple effects of practicing acceptance and encouraging spiritual growth could be profound. There is no principle among our seven that is more timely than the third. The world needs what UUs have to offer in this deeply polarized and mistrusting environment. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth is no lesser ideal, but rather an essential tool to coping with our times. Let's deepen our understanding and practice of this powerful, radical principle and help ourselves and our world.